My name is Jennifer Freakis, and I'm an instructor at Seattle University in Seattle, Washington. And thank you so much. I'm grateful to the Public Health Nursing Section for inviting me to Dr. Hu. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit. Oh, there's my little non-disclosure statement that the APHA likes you to have. Basically, I'm hoping that we'll take a quick tour through the land of some of our nursing educational policy documents, and specifically look at what we're saying about preparing nurses for practice in global environments. And so what I've done here is I've basically taken a sort of a document analysis approach. So I'll spend the first half of the presentation talking about the documents that I looked at. And then I think that we'll see that certain gaps perhaps emerge from that. And then I'll conclude by talking about a couple of the ways we've tried to increase these opportunities for our nursing students at Seattle University. I should back up and say that my goal here is for this to be a sort of provocative, thought-inducing presentation, a critical analysis of where we're going with global in terms of our education for nurses, including public health nurses. But I hope everybody appreciates there's a difference between critical and criticism, right? Recognition I have that these documents, which I'll go over, are designed, like all policy statements, to be broad statements of intent, and they're operationalized quite differently in a lot of different educational locations and settings. However, I think we can take the opportunity of looking at them a little more closely to critically read what they've laid out for us and ask whether these documents adequately address our practice in terms of an increasingly globalized society, which refers not only to people who work here in the United States, but also to opportunities to apply our nursing knowledge in other countries and to influence policy globally. A lot of what has driven my thinking and my motivation in this area is asking the question, are we preparing our nurses to engage globally in the sorts of ways that I have seen them engage after graduation? So that's sort of a little thought to keep in the back of our minds as we go forward. So these are the documents that I reviewed, and I'll present them briefly here, some more briefly than others. So let's start with the BSN Essentials, which anybody who teaches in baccalaureate-level nursing is familiar with, right? Global health gets one mention in all 63 pages of the BSN Essentials. It's one in a list of sample content under Essential Number 7, which covers clinical prevention and population health. So those who are familiar with that Essential 7, it's intended to acknowledge health promotion, disease prevention, how they're critical concepts for improving population health, and it discusses things like the determinants of health, outreach, linkage to available resources, all things that as public health nurses we're very familiar with. But global health is sort of embedded in this list of like sort of sample content without further explanation or definition, and it's sort of one of many in a long list. Global, as an individual sort of word, not contextualized to global health, it fares somewhat better, but is still in the BSN Essentials only mentioned 7 times in 63 pages. I've made a note of a few of its appearances, but I'll summarize for you that largely they refer to a broad setting or an additional practice environment, not further defined, so global as a place, not in the United States, and some reference globalization as a concept informing practice, maybe not using that word itself, but through ideas of increasing interdependence and changing healthcare trends that we want our nursing students to be aware of. Of note, there is one reference of global in referring to diversity, as a concept, which is some lack of sort of conceptual clarity that I will talk about in a moment when we get to the gap analysis. So then I moved on to the Quad Council's PHN competencies, and sadly, global health is not mentioned at all. globally is, I'm sorry, this is a very like risky presentation that I'm making here, but globally is mentioned once. I've quoted where it's mentioned on page 7 here. Again, sort of as a place, right? The idea that we want to protect and promote the health of communities locally and globally for us to sort of interpret whatever that means. Looking at the Institute of Medicine's Future of Nursing report, there were two sections that I looked at, the general recommendations and the focus on education section. And recommendation number one largely refers to advanced practice registered nurses. However, it could be a location for us to situate our practice scope and changing opportunities in the future. I thought it was very interesting under recommendation number two in the IOM's report. They speak to the to entrepreneurial opportunities for nurses and societal needs which nurses can fill. And here I think of numerous graduates who I've seen over the years who've started globally focused NGOs, for instance. And while wonderful, I think I wonder sometimes whether we're preparing them for that level of practice. But there is sort of a context here in the Future of Nursing report for us to take those opportunities and link them better to what we're doing in education. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on recommendation number six, but I will say briefly that under the education-specific recommendations, there's some interesting language that could provide us some motivation for rethinking the rationales for and development of globally focused content in our nursing curriculum. So in an effort to avoid U.S. ethnocentricity, I also took a look at the International Council of Nurses, a couple of their position statements, the ones that are listed here, and I think that they also provide us with some important information. I'm happy to answer questions about the others, but I did want to focus on the middle one there, nursing and development. I'm not aware of very many policy statements that related to nurses and development, international development in specifically. So this particular statement acknowledges that strengthening the nursing position is key to improving world health, and that ideally this should be done through infrastructure development, capacity building, probably many of the things that my colleagues on the panel will be talking about this morning, and that there is also ethical implications to thinking about how nurses engage in development in terms of migration, displacement of local capacity, which we do need to consider when we're educating nurses in our programs here. I did look at two other documents, and I'm not going to go over them in depth, but I thought that they were helpful to be aware of. Many people are familiar with the 2011 paper Cornerstones of Public Health Nursing, which talked about the values and beliefs underlying our public health nursing practice, has been widely cited in practice and education. However, the authors there at the end talk about how these are from a U.S. point of view, and that there would be a need to do further research into its global applicability. And just this year, the 12th annual report of the National Advisory Council on Nurse Education and Practice mentions meeting global health demands right up front at the outset of their report. But again, there's a lot of crisis-oriented language vis-a-vis global, which is something that that I'll talk about here as we move into like a bit of a gap analysis. So I know I've gone through those quickly, but many pages to summarize in five or 10 minutes. So a couple of the challenges I see for us in global education policy and nursing emerging from these documents. One is vagueness, right? What do we mean by global? How are we referring to it? People are using global in a wide variety of ways. Or they're having fleeting sort of references to global without a whole lot of context. There's also sometimes a tension between local and global. The idea of zero-sum games still sometimes predominates, that if we're meeting global needs, that we're somehow not meeting local needs or national needs, and that that becomes sort of the focus of the conversation rather than sort of holistic practice preparedness. I mentioned the crisis orientation focus, and this has to do with both the state of the nursing shortage in the world, but also topical. So a lot of references to epidemics, to terrorism, these sorts of languages when we talk about global rather than a sort of a broader way of what we mean by preparing nurses for global work. And then there's a lack of or a slowly growing body of research about both about nurses who practice globally or with diverse populations, about their professional development needs, and also about effective pedagogies for teaching our nursing students about what it takes to be prepared to practice globally. And yet we know, right, that our students desire this global health content and experiences, and they see the need for those experiences themselves. They have an ambition to work in a broad variety of practice settings, including global ones, and then they see, as we do, that health issues of a global nature are increasingly discussed in nursing and education discourses. I was noting that in the several recent editions of The Nation's Health, the APHA's newsletter here, Dr. Kumanyika has written many times about issues that have a global focus and importance, and I ask myself how well we're addressing those in our nursing education. So what the students see and many of us see is real. It's not something that they are sort of aspirational about or making up, right? There is increasing evidence of nursing supply and demand imbalances in many countries. You have several examples there. And yet there are educational policy changes that we could make to further our global collaborations and better prepare our students for this. I will add that from an education abroad perspective, which has been a lot of my experience and interest, there is an additional challenge of sort of articulating with the typical global education experience of, say, education abroad, right, or an exchange, that many of you who might have tried to do this in your own programs have found that this nursing curriculum that we live in that is very highly sequenced and inflexible makes it very difficult to get these experiences for students. And in fact, nursing is recognized as one of the STEM professions within the world of education abroad as an underserved discipline in terms of education abroad or opportunities to look abroad. So I'll leave, these are some questions, and then I'll just sum up. I know I probably only have like 3 minutes left, about what the Seattle University has done with a couple of examples here. Yeah? Okay, thank you. I put here some of the thoughts that occurred to me as I was going through this, right? So basically, I understand these are meant to be broad policy documents, but, you know, are we missing opportunities to better articulate what we mean by global competencies for our students as they go throughout our various educational programs? And I would argue that, in fact, many of us are probably operating under assumptions that preparation for practice in the United States is akin to preparation for practice in any part of the world with any manner of patient, and I would say that that's not true from my experience. There are some commonalities, but given that a student may be educated in the U.S. and then may choose to go practice elsewhere, I have really spent a lot of time thinking through the ethical implications of how well, as an educator, I've prepared them to do that. So a couple of examples, which I'm happy to expand upon later during questions and answers, but words and leadership, as we know, are important. It's very important to be in a setting educationally where the leadership is supportive of global education and opportunities. But then you have to move beyond that to operationalize that policy or that strategic direction into sort of the nitty-gritty details, which is where a lot of this gets very tough for nursing with those challenges that I mentioned earlier. We had a global nursing committee and a good deal of faculty involvement at Seattle University for many years now. And we also have a set of deliberate guiding principles, which I've placed here on this slide, because we want to make sure that we're sort of intentionally designing what it is that we're doing in each of these opportunities. Many opportunities abound. I haven't had a chance to visit the expo yet, but I'd imagine that if I go there, there's going to be a lot of for-profit and not-for-profit organizations that offer to have students go abroad, and yet with what sort of mentality and with what sort of aim to what they're learning are we designing these or engaging in these opportunities? I highlighted in red this idea of culturally competent professionals because you see in our own guiding principles, when I was analyzing them, I realized, oh, we're still saying culturally competent. But I would actually, right, I sort of said there's a little bit of a mix-up and ambiguity with the words global and cultural competence and how people sort of conflate those. If I were to redo these, which I'm going to do when I go back, right, now that I've looked at them again, I might say something like developing professionals who are aware of and responsive to global populations and health conditions. We have a number of opportunities at Seattle U, and they're listed here. We've tried very hard to expand the global learning opportunities for both undergraduates and graduate students. We've done this through freestanding education abroad courses that have academic credit associated with them, as well as immersion. But we've also done this through our regular curriculum. My colleague, Dr. Lauren Lawson, and I have a new public health and epidemiology course that has global foci in a number of its units, so that we can really get to this global to local linkage in our curriculum. Of a separate note, I also teach a course that's part of our, we're at a Jesuit Catholic university, so we have a core curriculum, and they have a module, the third highest module is called Global Challenges. And so in that, it really presents a curricular sort of framework for us to create courses that have a global analysis and a global immersion with global issues focus. And I've taught a course called Health is a Human Right that has that sort of global to local piece. So I will not take time to go through all of these, but I wanted to give you just a brief smattering of the impact that these sorts of opportunities have on students. These are in their own words, some of the things they said. For instance, if you look at the last bullet there, a student has acknowledged after a Belize immersion, the amount that my practice will henceforth change as I become a nurse is incredible, and it is as simple as the fact that I would have been more narrow-minded had I not gone abroad. Not that I'm saying that going abroad is the solution for everybody, but there are real transformative moments that occur. These are the last ones here. Just a moment, and then I included a couple from my home course on Health as a Human Right, just so that you wouldn't think it was just about immersions, but again, students were saying, I feel more courses need to be relevant and important to today's worldviews and challenges, and one of the students said, we're going to do these things anyway when we finish our education, and I don't feel like we have enough courses that prepare us for that sort of thing. Thank you very much. I look forward to the discussion.